Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Strong Towns, A Bottom-Up Revolution to Rebuild American Prosperity by Charles L. Maron Jr., is a nonfiction urban planning and civic economics book that critiques the post-war American growth model. Maron argues that many cities and towns pursued auto-oriented expansion, suburban development, and large infrastructure projects as if growth itself guaranteed prosperity. In his view, this approach often created long-term financial fragility because the public costs of maintaining roads, utilities, and services eventually exceeded the revenue generated by low-density development. The book is both an argument and a framework. It explains why many municipalities struggle financially and proposes a different path based on incremental investment, local initiative, and practical resilience. Rather than treating cities as machines that can be controlled from the top down, Maron presents them as complex, adaptive systems that improve through small, repeated adjustments. The book is aimed at readers interested in urban policy, infrastructure, municipal finance, and community development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the illusion of prosperity created by conventional suburban growth. Maron's central claim is that much of modern American development looks successful in the short term but weakens communities over time. New roads, subdivisions, parking lots, and utility extensions can create the appearance of expansion and economic vitality, yet they often require more public maintenance than they generate in tax revenue. This is especially important in low-density environments where municipalities must stretch services across large areas. The book argues that the standard growth model rewards visible construction while hiding the long-term liability attached to it. That means a town can expand, collect development fees, and still become more financially vulnerable after the initial boom passes. Maron uses this insight to challenge the assumption that more growth automatically means more prosperity. Instead, he shows that a city can become poorer while appearing busier, larger, and more built out. The critique is not anti-development in general. It is a demand to measure development by its long-term fiscal productivity, rather than by how much land it consumes or how quickly it expands outward. Secondly, why cities should be understood as complex adaptive systems. One of the book's most important conceptual moves is its insistence that cities are not mechanical systems. Engineers and planners often approach urban form as though it were a set of parts that can be optimized in a fixed way. But Maron argues that cities behave more like living systems that respond unpredictably to change. This matters because rigid top-down planning tends to assume stability, predictability, and control, while real neighborhoods evolve through countless local interactions. If a city is treated like a machine, then policy often aims to freeze patterns, standardize outcomes, and suppress variation. Maron argues that this is exactly the wrong instinct. A complex system becomes stronger through adaptation, feedback, and small corrections, not through overly simplified master plans. The book uses this framework to explain why conventional zoning and large-scale engineering solutions frequently miss how people actually live, work, and move through a city. By framing urban areas as adaptive rather than static, Maron creates a more realistic basis for policy, one that accepts change as normal and designs for resilience instead of false certainty. Thirdly, small, incremental investments as a safer path to community resilience. The strong towns approach favors small, low-risk interventions over large, speculative projects. Maron calls this logic little bets, modest changes that test value before a community commits major resources. This idea is central because it shifts attention from dramatic redevelopment to practical financial stewardship. Instead of betting a city's future on a single large project, the book encourages municipalities to make targeted improvements that can be adjusted, repeated, or abandoned if they do not work. Such an approach reduces exposure to failure and makes public spending more responsive to real conditions. It also fits the way strong neighborhoods often grow historically through gradual improvement rather than sudden transformation. The book suggests that sidewalk repairs, infill, small business growth, and reinvestment in existing districts often produce healthier long-term returns than new peripheral development. This is not simply a preference for smallness as an aesthetic value. It is an argument about risk management, fiscal prudence, and organizational learning. Incrementalism allows cities to learn from outcomes while preserving flexibility, which is crucial in uncertain economic conditions. Fourthly, infrastructure must be judged by long-term financial productivity. A recurring theme in the book is that infrastructure should not be evaluated only by engineering standards, political visibility, or immediate economic excitement. Maron argues that every public investment should be assessed by whether it pays for itself over time through the tax base and economic activity it supports. This changes the conversation about roads, bridges, sewer lines, and other public assets. A project that looks efficient at the moment of construction may become a burden if it requires decades of maintenance without generating enough value to sustain it. The book warns that municipalities often confuse capital spending with wealth creation, when in fact some projects simply accelerate future obligations. By focusing on financial productivity, Marone pushes readers to ask whether a neighborhood, corridor, or infrastructure extension can realistically support its own life cycle costs. This is a demanding standard, but it reflects the reality that local governments inherit not only assets, but also liabilities. The result is a more disciplined way of thinking about public works, one that connects design decisions to balance sheet consequences rather than to abstract promises of progress. Lastly, local responsibility and bottom-up civic action as the real reform strategy. The book is not only a critique of past development patterns, it is also a call for a different civic ethic. Marone emphasizes that strong towns are built through local responsibility, not dependence on distant institutions or sweeping federal solutions. In practice, this means residents, officials, designers, and business owners should pay attention to the places they already have and work to improve them gradually. The book places value on neighborhood-scale problem-solving because local people often understand conditions better than outside planners do. It also challenges municipalities to serve the common financial health of the town rather than simply responding to isolated demands for convenience or expansion. This bottom-up perspective does not reject government, but it redefines its role as steward, enabler, and risk manager. The strongest implication is political as much as economic. Healthy cities emerge when communities learn to invest where there is already a base of social and physical capital. That approach makes reform more practical because it aligns civic ambition with existing capacity instead of chasing growth for its own sake. In conclusion, Strong Towns is best suited for readers who want a serious critique of American development patterns and a practical framework for thinking about cities, infrastructure, and municipal finance. Urban planners, local officials, civil engineers, community organizers, and engaged citizens will gain the most from it. But it is also valuable for anyone trying to understand why many places feel prosperous on the surface while remaining financially fragile underneath. The book's main benefit is that it connects everyday design choices to long-term public solvency, making abstract budget problems visible in streets, neighborhoods, and land use patterns. It stands out from many urban policy books because it does not simply diagnose sprawl or celebrate density. It explains the fiscal mechanics behind failure and then offers a method of incremental, locally grounded repair. Its tone is analytical rather than ideological, and its strongest insight is that resilience comes from repeated small investments, not heroic master plans. Readers looking for a realistic, systems-aware alternative to conventional growth politics will find it unusually clear and persuasive. If you would like to support Charles L. Marone Jr., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.